you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Oh, you're so good, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're so worthy of praise. Oh, oh, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of praise. Glory be to God. Oh, and thank the band. Thank y'all very much. Oh, where'd y'all go? Where'd they go? They're gone. Love you very much. Praise God. How many new people we got here today? If you're new, I want you to know we welcome you. So raise her hand. And now, raise your hand if you've never been here before. Let us welcome you, please. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Honor to have you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Thank you for coming. Back there in the youth. Anybody on this side brand new? Never been here before? So we need to start getting new people over here. Because it's... Glad y'all are here, though. Oh, you old-timers, you know. Older-timers. Did I tell y'all one time I said that? I said, all you old folk. And I almost got whooped by an older lady. So I say older, you know. Our youth is renewed. Amen. Go ahead, fellas. Clap your hands for tithes and offerings, please. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Well, it's an honor to be able to talk about finances just for a minute. All of you know what God is doing in these last days. How many of you know this? That the Word of God says the wealth, you need to find this. It's in the Bible. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Okay, if you're saved and born again, raise your hand. Let me look, y'all. If you're born again saved, raise your hand. Let me just see it. I want to see if you're a born again person, okay? If not, you will be born again today. Amen. No reason to wait. Hey, I'm telling you, you don't want to go to hell. That's a bad place. It's hot. I mean, y'all doing this right now, and because it might be a little hot in here. And when our ushers see people fanning, then they know to go straight to the creative box in the back of the room, and they know how to get some air flowing in here, but hell's going to be hotter than that. Equilow. Okay. Okay, think about this. If the wealth is laid up for just, every single person that raised your hand are the just. You're justified, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. You're justified by faith. Okay? Listen to me. There's no reason God's people shouldn't want to have a lot of finances, but here's the key. You do not want money to have you. Because then, you know, you're not going to use it led by the Spirit of God. You won't help people. Oh, you might every now and then, you know, try to be a good person. All right, let me bless you with a ham. The first thing that came to my mind, you know. Anyway, I mean, you won't, if you're that type, you will not bless the pastor with a pecan pie. I don't love. Anyway, that was like seed right there, wasn't it? Seed? We'll get like 10 pies next week. Anyway. Oh, we love pie. Anyway. Okay, listen, though. If you're justified, that word justified literally means acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. The reason that I believe God's people are the ones that should own all the businesses, like Steve and the electric company, and And that's why you can only get organic water, rainwater, that is natural right here. You can't get it in a store right now. I haven't gone to any of them. Really, it's up to all of us to sell the water, because it's the only water you can get that's natural. There's not another water out there that doesn't add something or has some ground contamination. In some matter of fact, they just gave me a report the other day. Since I'm the main distributor of organic water, and when you buy it, I don't make anything. The church does, though. They just told me that they're running out of tap water. And that's what most water is. They just get it out. Coca-Cola, that Dasani and all that people buy for $6 at the store, it's just tap water. And then they have to put a lot of stuff in it to make it taste good. If you go to Midland, Odessa, don't drink the tap water. It's no bueno. Whew. I lived there, man. Tap water bad there. But it's because of the ground contamination of oil and gas, etc. And so I believe God's people are the ones that should be owning the businesses in town. And if we ever think that way, then you'll get out of debt faster. You'll owe no man. I got a call from a guy that goes to this church. Or I didn't get a call. I got a message that says, "Hey, Pastor, wanted to let you know that I owe no one but to love them." Man, what a beautiful thing. I mean, there's no pressure. And I was overjoyed because people are getting hold of God's economy. You can mess with the world's economy all you want to, but I would rather get into God's economy. So when we give at a church, we're giving because it's obedience to the Lord. Not that He needs money. He don't need it. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. But He needs our obedience so that money doesn't control us, but that we tap into His ways of doing things. His economy. And His economy is seed, time, harvest. You sow the seed of a tithe, you sow the seed of an offering, you sow the seed of alms, you sow the seed of first fruits, and then you should expect a harvest to come from it so that you can sow again. That's why, man, the covered arena that we're believing God for, I told y'all last Sunday that I believe over $250,000 we have already, and we're waiting till we have it all. I don't believe about going in debt. Well, someone walked up and gave $15,000 last week. You see, they understand seed. Amen. And when we cover that thing, you want to talk about a ministry and the kids? Oh man. You can do a lot of things with a covered arena. It will be so busy because people want to rent a covered arena constantly. My mom and dad owned one for 10 years in San Angelo, the old Red Barn. And it's right by the Coliseum. And it was a lot of work, but what a joy. They would have dog shows, and then one time a circus came. I don't know how they do trapeze because they hit the ceiling, but no big deal. They would do anything in that thing. So it will be a blessing to the community. So y'all that understand giving unto the Lord, y'all come give with a big old shout of praise. And these buckets, all the kiddos will come and help you out. Come on, praise the Lord. Woo, it's going to be good. All right, the youth and the kids, we all meet, right? I always forget when it's youth that stay in here or whatever. But thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, we only got one kid over here. They need some help on this side. Look. There you go. We got 16 over here and one over here. All right, you ready? Yes, sir.
If y'all will permit me for just a minute, the first time I heard this song, it's been quite a while, but it was after my father or my dad had passed, and it just reminded me the kind of man he was and what an instrumental part he played in my life. He was big in the Western culture at the time, and we kind of grew up in that. It started coming out here and listening to Corey preach and talk about his dad and his family and how his dad was so big in the Western culture and instrumental in his life, and it reminded me of my growing up. And so I want to do this song. Is my guitar on? Can y'all hear that? Okay. All right, so I want to do this song for y'all, for me, for Corey, anybody else that feels like it. Daddy was a cowboy, hard as a rock. Mama, she was quiet as a prayer. Mama, Daddy'd always tell me, son, you gotta be tough. Mama kissed my cheek and say, play fair. I did my best to make them proud of me. But it's never been an easy place to be. Somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne, a cowboy and a saint, the cross and the open range. I try to be more like you, Lord. Most days I know I ain't. I'm somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne. Mama's love was tender, Daddy's love was strong, but both of them were there to help the weak. They taught me to stand up and fight for what is right, told me how to turn the other cheek. Since there's a bit of both of them in me, then maybe that's the best I can ever hope to be. Somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne, a cowboy and a saint, the cross and the open range. I try to be more like you, Lord. Most days I know I ain't. I'm somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne. Somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne, a cowboy and a saint, the cross and the open range. I try to be more like you, Lord. Most days I know I ain't. I'm somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne. Somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne.
Good job. Good job. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. John Wayne, the Duke. But Jesus is a lot better. Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. God bless you, man.
God bless you.
Amen. Give him another hand, would you? All right. All right. Big, big praise clapping again as the youth group and the kids church is dismissed out the back end, please. Amen. Bye, kiddos. Go ahead and start turning in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. How many of you brought your Bible, by the way? Did y'all bring a Bible? Love the Bibles. Amen. Thank you for bringing your Bible. It'll help you. If I skip over a verse or a line on accident, you'll be able to catch it. Amen. As most of you know, last week we started a little message, and really it's to help all of us in these days, and we've said it for many years, really. I remember hearing it when I was young that we're in the last days. And I'm convinced of it. I believe we're in the last of the last days. And I believe God's called all of us at this time. And if you're not here before the return of the Lord, you're already in heaven, praise God. That's a wonderful thing. But I believe that we are the generation, and I pray we are. And again, if not, we're just going to keep living for the Lord just like we're living. I just believe that prophetically you're seeing things come to pass in front of our eyes that was prophesied so many years ago, Isaiah. And you're seeing it come to pass because time's running out as far as the return of the Lord. So my job as a pastor, regardless of when it happens, because we don't know when, amen. I think people get mixed up where we know the signs of the times. I mean, we should be looking up, you know, remember when the word says, because our redemption draws nigh. So we should be looking up and seeing the signs of the times, and hopefully that gives us more of a hunger to serve the Lord than any other time, because right now I'm seeing a pull of people really trying to, they might be born again people even, but there's just a pull to try to get these people defeated in different areas of their life, addictions, you know, trying to look like the world, act like the world, be like the world, but yet they're not of the world. They're born again people. You don't want to be of the world. You don't want to have this mentality in these days, I believe, that causes people to not care if they mess up. Now, here's the thing about messing up and sinning. Thank God for mercy. Amen. Woo, Jesus. And grace and forgiveness. But what I'm seeing, though, as a pastor, as I travel the country even, is it's just so easy to look like the world and act like them. And no one really can tell you apart. So my job as a pastor is to hopefully open all of our eyes just to dig in and seek God more than we've ever sought Him, because it's going to help you be victorious in Christ. I read a little post earlier, and it ministered to a girl. But I sometimes think that you have to watch out when you start preaching messages about testimonies, and you have to have a test to have a testimony. No, you don't. You do not. Your testimony can be like a girl that came to the college national finals one year, remember? And she just got up and said, I've never drank, never smoked, don't cuss. I've just never drank. I don't have that kind of testimony. Now, other issues in her life that no one knew about was probably some things that she was dealing with, but she got up there and my testimony is, I just never drank. Well, that's a good testimony, isn't it? Because I don't have that testimony. But you don't have to have a test just to have a testimony. You don't have to be busted and broke and upset to try to look up because you've reached the bottom. No, really, if you follow the word of the Lord, no matter how one might have messed up back when, it's not going to determine who you are in Christ. And you don't have, I mean, if you follow this book, praise God, then you'll find out that as I've always said, you don't have to go through the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, just read what they did and how they conquered that fire so that you don't have to go through it. Now listen, I know we all have to go through some trials and tribulations, but the key word is go through them. I've said this for 18 years of this church, and I've said it well past this church in other churches that we've started, at Lubbock Church, at the Barn, etc., that me and my wife don't go through trials and tribulations like most people. You know why? Because we go through them. I mean, a lot of times we go through them so fast we don't even know they're there. Because really, how you handle things is how you get on through things. I mean, when the enemy really can't make me mad and upset and fall because my eyes are on the Lord Jesus the best I can, then I just get right through an attack that he might have been trying to do in my life, or in Jamie's life, or in my family's life, and I just get right through the trial, the tribulation. But not very many people do that, because they start meditating on the things that they're going through, and before you know it, they're staying in that trial or tribulation for a long period of time. No, let's get on through it. Amen. Because look, we fall, or we're in a fallen world, right? We're living in it, so we're going to see a lot of junk going on in this world. But you and I do not have to participate in it. Remember that story when I was at the gas station, and I just get out, and there's a guy on the other side, and I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Oh man, whoo, not doing very good." He said, "Whoo, the economy." This has been 15, 20 years ago. And he said, "Whoa, the economy is just terrible." And so, being who I am, I just said, "Well, I've just decided not to participate." And he looked at me like I was crazy. He said, "What'd you say?" I said, "Yeah, I just don't participate in a bad economy." And it opened up a door for me to be able to share about how I operate in God's kingdom. And it was an open door where hopefully he left there not focused on all the bad, but on the one who's already made the bad turn into good. And once we live that way, then we're not focused and meditated on all the bad things. But we're staying hooked on the Word of God, even though we're seeing and hearing and all those things. We're seeing the bad all around us. We're watching what our government is doing and how our government is going further away from the kingdom of God, in my opinion. Or at least how our country was founded on the principles of the Word of God. And Christians tend to back up. We don't want to be persecuted. Oh man, I'm excited about all those teachers and parents and moms and dads going to the school boards and standing up for what's right and what our children are should be taught. I think you're seeing a revolution because Christians and just people in general are starting to stand up and say, no, we're not living that way. And it might be some persecution that goes on. But by golly, we're going to stand. We're not supposed to back up and just let our kids be taught any old thing. Now, what messes up some of us is we just got to do everything out of love. And we're going to. But there's a difference between being in love boldly and then not operate in the spirit of love. I mean, it's okay to be bold in the kingdom of God. And boldness is, you know what? What's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And let's go ahead and establish that. Because teachers are, man, they're going through a whole lot. And we need to lift them up, because thank God for the ones that stand. Thank God we have some companies because of people standing that still recognize freedom in the United States of America. Thank God even Southwest Airlines didn't go ahead with this mandate that would have caused a lot of people to lose their job. Thank God for our governor that is standing and trying to, I mean, he's a Catholic man. I've met him. I've prayed with him. I know his daughter well, that me and We got to meet at the national finals last year, who was in charge of my church service that we did at the national finals in Arlington last year. And so I know who they are, but the good news is we live in a free country, and by golly, we got to stand for it. Amen. Okay. So my job this morning then is to get us tapped in. And I pray to God it doesn't make anybody upset. Don't get upset, because that's another tool of the enemy that causes people then to leave the church just because of some scripture that I might read. You go, girl. Amen. And people online are like, what? What'd she say? She said, if it's the truth,
shouldn't upset us.
Amen. Now, don't start preaching now. My daddy's actually watching. Hi, Dad. You don't know who's talking, but if you're a dad, it's your daughter. Eventually, we'll have three cameras, you know, going. Oh, get her, get her. Number one, get it on camera, number one. Right now, we just got one. Yeah. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We talked last week about breaking barriers. Most people in this church probably, well, some. How many of you know in rodeo what a broken barrier means? Let me see your hand. Who doesn't? Okay, there's some. That if you don't rodeo, you don't know what a broken barrier is. In the roping events, there's a what they call a barrier line. And you're behind it. When the cow, the calf, the steer goes out, they have a neck rope, and you got to give them a head start, and then you go and get him. If you don't give them a head start, there's a line there that if you go too early, your horse will break that line. If you break that line, there's a penalty, 10 seconds. So you don't want to ever break the line. You want to give the animal a head start so that you can go out and rope the animal fairly. And you're not on top of them. And it's just a fair deal for all the competitors then. Well, that broken barrier just costs them a lot, because you cannot win any money with a broken barrier usually. And so you don't want to break the barrier. But breaking the barrier in rodeo is not what I'm talking about in this message, because there's barriers that try to stop us from accomplishing the things that God has called us to do. There's walls that, you know, sometimes we put up for ourselves, but the enemy, man, he'll stick a wall up just so that you'll hit it over and over and over and then finally give up. And we've got to break down those barriers. And so last week we started talking about limitations and how a lot of times we limit ourselves, or other people try to limit us. And we're just not going to allow that to happen, man. I mean, God is, He's given us the keys to the kingdom. And when you follow the keys to the kingdom, which is the word, then nothing can stop you. There's no devil in hell that can cause you not to accomplish a dream or a vision or a goal that you set out to accomplish in, or let's just say it this way, with the blessing of the Lord. Because when it's God, man, He wants to accomplish it, but there's a devil that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. Okay, so we got to break down those barriers. And we've got to start learning how to be barrier breakers. Let's figure out how to break down the barriers, the walls. Because look, there's a lot of walls. Let's take, for example, addictions. Addictions are designed to control, right? And if you're addicted to something, and it doesn't have to be just drugs, but it could be addicted to something smaller in our eyes, but into God's eyes, it's still an addiction. I mean, just a loose mouth, gossiping and things like that. Sometimes we're just so programmed to be that way because someone else was that way in our line, mama, dad, or whatever. And you got to be able to break that. It's kind of like breaking the old saying, good luck. Well, I broke that out of my life. I don't say, you'll never probably ever hear me say good luck. I just don't say it. because I broke that. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the blessing, though. Because if we believe in luck, right, there's good and there's bad. And then you've got to try to figure out how to not be in the bad luck part and just be in the good. So I don't believe all that junk, because that's usually what it is. What's that other thing that they say now? It's kin to luck. Come on, help me out, y'all. I mean, huh? Karma. Don't believe in karma either, because there's good and bad karma. But we've been programmed so much into the world today that we just believe in those kind of things, but not a Christian. Christians believe in the blessing of God. And there's no such thing as a bad blessing. Doesn't make sense, right? Now, what confuses people is sowing and reaping. They call it karma and good luck or bad luck. But no, you just sowed a bad seed and you're reaping the harvest of it. So I was at Reno, Nevada one year, and I just won the first round of the team roping with a boy. And then we roped our second steer and made the short round that's one of the largest rodeos in the country. And so I decided right before the short round, the top 10, and we was coming in about sixth or seventh in the short round, I decided to go to the secretary and get my first round check. And when I did, she goes, "Uh-oh, you sure you want your first round check before the short round?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. I want to see what I won." She said, "Well, that's bad karma." Ha! In my mind, I'm thinking, "Yo, mama." I don't live that way. But I didn't do it there. But when I walked out with my check that was $6,000, I said, "I break that curse in Jesus' name, because I don't live by karma or luck or anything else. It's up to me to rope that steer, and I've practiced to do it, and I thank God that even no matter what happens, it's not God's fault, it's not bad karma and all that junk, and I break that curse in Jesus' name." Amen. Y'all know what happened, right? Because we ended up winning $12,000 that day. Why? Now here's the deal. Because I want to know that my God is greater that lives on the inside of me than that he that lives in the world. I want to be able to break down some walls and not just say, "Well, that's just part of it. I hope it's not a bad lucky day. I hope it's just not another Monday." And we've got to get that mentality out. We've got to start living by the Word of God. So let's be barrier breakers. Let's not let anything limit us in the kingdom of God, because we're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Say amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, and let's go to chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren..." Now, when it says brethren, that means the Apostle Paul is talking to like-minded people. He's talking to you and I right now through the Word of God. "When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or the wisdom declaring, or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, I was with you in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration," glory be to God, "of the Spirit and of power." Thank God for the power of God. Amen. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men." Don't be a man pleaser, in other words, be a God pleaser. "But in the power of God." Verse 6. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak," and here's what he's saying, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now what that means is, you know, when you're a born again person, that you're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. I mean, the third of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. I mean, the teacher of all things. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that guides us and directs us, speaks to us, etc. Okay? So if we try to listen to the things of the world, we're going to be confused and not hear the things of God, possibly. So it's really important for you and I as a believer in Jesus to tap into hearing God's voice. And the only way to hear God's voice is to have the mind of Christ. The only way to have the mind of Christ is to get into the Word of God and start learning who is talking to the mind. If it's the enemy and the world, and you meditate on that, then that's how you're going to act and be. But if you listen to the Spirit of God and you get into the Word of God, then when all hell tries to break loose in your life, you're going to listen to the Spirit of the Lord and not to someone else that's not led by the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible says to not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. I don't take counsel from an unbeliever. I want to take counsel from someone that's led by the Spirit of the Lord. Because they're going to give you the right way out. They're going to give you the wisdom that can actually change your life, that can actually do good for you. And the wisdom of the world might work for the world, but it may not work for you in these times. So it's important that we get the wisdom of the Lord. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Okay. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. In other words, He's saying, man, tap into the Word now. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So, if you're trying to do things just in the natural, or you just want to see things scientifically proven before you believe it, you're not going to really tap into the Spirit of God, because everything that He does is by faith. You're going to have to believe in God before you see Him. Do you understand that? Because you're not going to ever see Jesus in the flesh. Now, thank God that some did for 33 and a half years or so. But you and I that live here, Jesus is not here. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. But the Spirit of God's here. And the Spirit, though, can't see. Because it's not flesh, it's Spirit. Okay? So we've got to be led by the Spirit of God and believe this Word of God before it actually comes to pass. And man, once you get a hold of that, you know, in other words, When they said I had Crohn's disease, how long ago was that, Mama? 21 years ago. They took out 16 inches of intestine, a little bit of the colon. The doctor said I had Crohn's. Y'all know the story. I told him, no, I don't. Negatory. Mm-mm, not receiving that. And as the story goes, because I didn't receive what was being said to me by a doctor, well, I mean, an educated man. I just didn't make him the final report. I could have believed it, though. I could have said, you know, my Crohn's, my diabetes, my cancer, my sickness, my weakness. Well, I don't want to take possession of it because I don't want to participate in the things of the world. So we got to start changing the way we talk. No. Jesus died for all those things. Cast it over on Him. They're not yours. Not if you want to have the manifestation of healing. No, start changing the way you talk and start saying, no, that's not my Crohn's disease, because the Bible says, and I believe the Bible, that I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. Okay? And all it is just starting to change, just like luck. I had to get that out of my vocabulary because I had said it all my life. Now I say, do good. Some people say, Godspeed. Blessings. I say that a lot. Hey, be blessed today, man. Blessings. I mean, I don't make it all spiritual where, you know, when someone says, how are you doing? Highly favored of God, my brother. No, I don't have to scare people. Anyway. I mean, this one guy called me years ago and said, I'm believing God for my marriage. My wife has left me and I'm believing God. Okay. Well, I started believing with him, praise the Lord. But every time he called and left me a message, it was, hello, Brother Corey. This is Jason, the apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and the soreness of our brother. How are you doing today? I mean, he would read something from each beginning passage of some of these epistles. And every time he would call and he would say, hello, I'm John, a servant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Hello, how are you doing? I'm like, who are you? And then the next thing he would write a note and he would just, again, he would go to the scripture and I knew his heart. He said, hello, I'm John, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You know, and I'm like, no, you're scaring people. Just talk like you normally talk. Just leave out the cuss words. You don't have to use these, thous, and thuses. No, just talk how you normally talk. And how this woman talks is with a major accent. So I love it. And you're not changing that. I can't do it, y'all. Amen. So let's talk about just a few characteristics of, thank you, Jamie, of, I said that word right. Last time I used the word characteristics, I shortened it. And Jamie said, that's not the way you say it. So she coached me, man. So now I think about characteristics. Pretty good, huh? Of a barrier breaker, because we've got to be barrier breakers in this world so that we don't look like the world. Okay? Here's the very first one. Ready? Say it with me. Integrity. Say it again. Integrity. Because that is a characteristic of being a barrier breaker. Integrity. Wow. You know, integrity is a very important thing because that's a man or a woman who, when they say it, if it's even not right, they have the integrity to own up to it. There's Daddy again. Daddy, that's you. Because integrity is a characteristic that we definitely need today. Because not a lot of people have integrity sometimes. I mean, it's just there's a looseness of when they say it, it might not come to pass. Now, I'm not saying a mistake or saying something that you shouldn't have said. It was out of turn. It was a little quick to say it. No, I'm talking about someone that just walks in that spirit, integrity. I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. Just to your right of Corinthians and go to 1 Peter. If you get to Hebrews, keep going. You're almost there. To your right, chapter 2. 1 Peter and chapter 2. Because this is something that a believer has to get a hold of. Okay? Now, I think that the reason we go and we get... or let's just say it this way. If we build a tent in the middle of a trial and tribulation, it's because we don't know about this scripture and we don't walk in it and live in it. Okay? Look at verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Look at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, it's talking about who you are. You've given your life to Jesus. I always say it, you got to know who you are in Christ. This is what this is talking about. You've got to know who you are after you give your life to Jesus. That regardless of the mistakes you make, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Oh, Jesus. Remember the saying the devils use constantly? Oh, you just think you're holier than thou. That's where they get this, because they're trying to knock you down and tell you that you really aren't that great. No, you're a holy nation. You're a holy people. Not holier than thou, but a holy people. Look at this. A peculiar people. You know what that word peculiar means? Just someone who's different, who's set apart. You see? Because see, that's what it starts to take. That you should show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of what? Darkness into His marvelous light. Glory be to God. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now wait a minute. What's the soul? Your mind, your will. Because God gave us all a will. You can say no to God, you can say yes to God. But you've got a will to say no to Him. No, I kind of like doing this little habit that I just like to do. Well, what if God says that's leading people the wrong direction? I mean, if someone has a drinking problem, why would you be going to a bar trying to get away from that drinking problem? Doesn't make sense, right? But again, let's not even go where you have to leave constantly groups. That why don't you just get a backbone and pull your chest out and say, you know what, I don't live that way. Come on, y'all. Why don't we just find out that we're a peculiar people, a holy nation, a different generation, a chosen generation of God, and we're going to stand for Him no matter what. What if it does bring persecution? Who cares? In these days, I don't want to go through the trials and tribulations and then stay in the middle of them. No, I want to get through and get victory in Christ Jesus. I want the people to come to me when all hell breaks loose in their life because they see victory in my life. I didn't say that I don't make mistakes. They just come to me, praise God, and they should come to you because of who you are. You are a peculiar people. And integrity is going to take us getting away from looking like the world and start looking like a holy people. Oh, Jesus. I got one clap. Thank you, ma'am. Who was that? Was that you? I want to give you like $1,000. But see, look at that. See what it draws? Can you give me some money? All right, look at the second one. The second characteristic of a barrier breaker, someone that knocks down the walls that are trying to stop them. These people are positive. Positive. All right. Go over to the Ephesians and we'll start wrapping it up. And next week, by the way, I'm here 3 weeks in a row. Glory. I know. Thank you, Jesus. I looked at my calendar and I said, hey, I'm here again next week. So, praise the Lord. We'll kind of finish this, but I think this one's important. Because it's going to take some energy to be positive, you see. So let's look at Ephesians. Back to your left, just a little bit, and go to chapter 4. Ephesians and chapter 4. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Love you very much. Look at verse 29. Ephesians 4 and 29. Are y'all there? You're not there? Oh, you're on your phone. Do you know how to work that thing? She said, I'm in Ephesians. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm in something. All right, is she there? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Chapter 4. Come on, I'm waiting on you. Can you believe? Can y'all believe that? That front row, look at them. There's only one Bible over there. Everybody else got phones. What is this world coming to? They're like children. I know. I'm do the same thing, I promise. All right, quiet on the front row, please. All right, check out what verse 29 says. Because again, we're talking about being positive. You need to know the power that's in this tongue. Because you're not going to be victorious in the things that are holding you back if you don't know what's coming out of your mouth. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You see, there's something about speaking the Word of God. And speaking the Word of God is being positive. I mean, it's so easy to say, well, look what the government's doing. Look what that other party's doing. I mean, it's just terrible, and our country is just going down. It's a very sad deal. They're teaching our kids a lot of things. I need to homeschool my kids, and I can't afford it, and life is just crazy. No, why don't we say the opposite of that? Why don't we call things to be not as though they were? Why don't we begin to say, you know what? I just pray for the teachers that they're led by the Spirit of God. If they're not saved, I call them born again in Jesus' name. I just say that our school board and all the people that are making decisions, that they start asking God first what they need to decide. Why don't we begin to speak the Word of God? You know what? I'm a conqueror. You know why I'm a conqueror? Because God loves me. You know that, did you know that I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength? I am a winner and not a loser. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above all my issues of life. I'm above the negativeness of this world. I'm above all the demonic things that are going on in this world. The enemy is under my feet because he's just a fallen angel that I have authority over because I have been given permission to use the name that's above every name, Jesus. Come on, y'all. Sickness, listen. When we say these things, that's being positive. Sickness and disease shall not come near my body. There's not a virus, a delta, a pandemic that's going to control me, because I'm protected by the blood of Jesus, and I live under Psalms 91 that declares, and this is what I'm saying, y'all, this is coming out of my mouth, I'm being positive. I'm not saying, well, I hope I don't die of some sickness that great grandmama had, because it goes down the generations. No, why don't you start speaking the Word of God that every curse is broken. Matter of fact, Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law. Come on, y'all. We got to start speaking this stuff. But man, we don't want to be radical. Out there in the public. Huh. No, I'm going to be radical if they're trying to put stuff on me that is not from God. I think, this is what I think, that the reason that this church is seeing the power of God is because we're not ashamed of preaching the Word, even if it's going against our country. We're not against preaching a marriage that God created that is between a natural born man and a natural born woman. Okay, but you know how the devil does. Oh, you don't love? No, we love. But we have to understand that God's order cannot be chaotic. It cannot be confusing. And it's very confusing when you start accepting things that now our country is accepting as, yeah, no big deal. And it's harmed. It's harmed our youth and how they think. And that's why our schools are going through what they're going through. It's because the Christians has allowed this because of the fear of persecution. And I'm telling you, if you have the right influence doing it out of love, we can change our school system to get back to the Judeo principles of the Word of God. We can. But it's going to take us being positive. It's going to take us speaking the Word. Yeah, if they make fun of us, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We're not trying to do it to hurt people. We're just standing up for what we believe. And there's a whole lot of us, y'all. If we can get people to preach these messages about finding out that you have power in Jesus, if we keep convincing people to believe this word before they believe all the other stuff, if we can convince people to know that they're a holy people, a chosen generation, a peculiar, set apart, different person, not holier than thou, not goody two shoe, better than the other people out there. No, that's not how we operate. We operate with integrity, which means we are who we are because of what Jesus did for us. You know. And if you'll live that way, when the enemy tries to bring something that can destroy a marriage, destroy, relationships, can open the door of the devil. Remember in that Ephesians, if you'll read that in chapter 4, it says, give the devil no place. Because we give him place, all of us. And if we'll just shut those doors, usually you know what it takes? I preached a message called Shut Your Mouth one time. A lot of times that's what it takes. Just don't say what you're thinking. That's what got Donald Trump in trouble. He said what he thought. A little bit too much. And we were all thinking it. And he said it. But sometimes you got to hold your tongue and just start believing for the Spirit of God to change through our faith. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Next week we'll kind of finish these characteristics of a barrier breaker. I mean, knock those walls down. Because listen to me. You can probably think right now some of the walls that are up in your life. And I know some of our leadership gets a little upset with me because the church seems like you can meddle into personal business and they can take a lot of things that way, but personally I don't allow anybody that is in leadership of this church. I don't want you drinking. You do it behind closed doors all you want to. It's between you and God. But the minute you get out there and people see you with a Williamson County Cowboy Church sticker on or a shirt or they know you're in leadership, I'm telling you, the devil wants you to fall. He wants to be able to make fun of you for not standing up for just beliefs. And it can make people mad. And it can make them not want to be an usher. Just because they, you know, and that's a sad thing, because then that becomes more important than serving. And so, I'm not talking about the body. You do whatever you want to. I mean, it's between you and God, but leadership, it'd be like me. I mean, I could make a whole lot of people fall. A lot. I could mess a lot of people up by the way I do things out in public. I mean, and boy, I've been tempted. I've wanted to whip a lot of people before. I mean, those people that cut you off in Austin's traffic. I sometimes pray the prophet curse to come on them. Everybody knows what that is, right? The prophet's curse is that a million fleas off a camel's behind invades them in all kinds of ways. But I don't say it. I just tell my church that out of fun. Glory be to God. You see, God is just a gracious, gracious, gracious God. And He wants us to not walk in guilt and condemnation if we make mistakes. He wants us to recognize that, praise God, there's finally some preachers with a little backbone to preach the Word without fear of making people upset. And that's what I'm attempting to do. Amen. So please don't get offended. Don't get upset if you're having some struggles in any way. No, just say, God, I need some help in this area. You know how many times I've had to say that? Sir, it's me again. I need some help. I want to do things better. I don't want to get upset. Of course, you'll never probably see me lose joy. I want to live the way I'm preaching. And everybody said, we have people live with us. They've stayed in our home. And one thing the testimony is we're not different at home than we are right here behind this podium. I want to be the same. I want to be a man who walks the walk, not just talks it. And then if I make a mistake, praise God, I'll say, God, forgive me. And then I'll get up and move on. Amen. So, let's be barrier breakers in Jesus' name. Father, we love You. Thank You, sir. Thank You for everything You're doing here at this church in the lives of all of us that believe. Father, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know if they go to heaven or hell when they leave this earth, that means they didn't ever give their lives to the Lord Jesus. Romans 10:9 says that if you'll just confess Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. In John 14, sir, the Bible says that Jesus, the Son of God, the one that You sent, is the only way, truth, and life. And He's the only way to get to You, the Father, in heaven. You have to receive Jesus, the one that died, the one that gave His life, the one that defeated hell, death, and the grave. So, Father, if there's one person that has never given their lives to You, open up their heart right now and draw them to You in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to the Lord, I want you to do it by a confession. We're going to confess a prayer. And all of us in here, even believers, are going to confess this prayer with you. Maybe you're watching and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus. Please do it right now. I beg you. Don't choose hell. My goodness. You won't play cards with your buddies like I've heard. No, it's going to be isolation. It's terrible. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You'll beg for a drop of water on your tongue, the Bible says. Please don't choose hell. No, choose heaven. But the only way to choose heaven is the one that God sent. His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So I want you to pray a prayer. If you've never received Jesus as Lord, just pray this prayer and mean it. And pray it out loud. And all of the rest of the Christians in here, we're going to pray it with you. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. Say it. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I do not want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I choose You, sir. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, here's some boldness, because Jesus was not ashamed to die for you. Don't you dare be ashamed of receiving Him as Lord and then not confessing it. With no one looking around, because I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front of the church. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting or you're standing. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it and you gave Jesus your life, you asked Him to come into your heart and you just got saved. If you just did that for the first time, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to say, I meant that prayer, by raising your hand up and putting it right back down. That's all I want you to do. Because here's why I do that. Jesus says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. In other words, don't ever be ashamed. Oh, He loves you no matter what. No matter what you're going through, He loves you. If you just gave your life to Him, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Real fast. Real fast. I know it's about 4 minutes after, but it doesn't matter. Just real fast. If you've been struggling with some barriers, some walls, and they've affected you in some negative ways, if that's you, it's while no one's looking around, and you want me to pray for you just right where you're sitting, I want you to just raise your head and look at me. Just raise it up. I see them. I see them. Right here. I see all those. Okay? You're just raising it up. I'll pray for you, brother. Gotcha. Gotcha. Just look at me if you need agreement. Okay, on this side, I see your hands. Amen. Look at me. Okay, I look at you. I got you. Yes, ma'am. Anybody? I don't want to miss anyone. Yes, sir. Got you, brother. Got you. My man. Glory be to God. Y'all back here? Okay, I got you. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yes, sir. Got you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Got you. Yes, ma'am. Got you. Thank you. Yes, sir. Got you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If I don't, yes, sir. I got you. Thank you. If I don't acknowledge you, just look at me and I'll try to go through the cross. Yes, ma'am. I got you. Amen. I already saw y'all. Yes, sir. Got you. Glory be to God. Yes, sir. Got you. Got you too. Proud of you. Very proud of you, sister. Yes, sir. Got you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll pray for you. Let me just make sure I didn't miss anybody. I got you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Got you. Got you. Yes, ma'am. Got you. Anybody else in this section? If you're looking at me, I'll know. If I've already acknowledged you, I got you. I'll be believing with you, man. Glory be. Yes, sir. Got you. Yes, sir. Got you, ma'am. Got you. Glory be to God. Every one of you, receive this prayer in Jesus' name. Father, in the name, our Savior, that's above all names, the walls, the barriers that are up in front of these precious people, we break them down, and the only way to break them down now is through the Word of God. The Word that is truth and makes us free. The Word of God that is sharper than a two-edged sword. So we speak the Word. Walls, barriers, come down now. Now y'all say, y'all that looked at me, you say, I agree, or say amen, or say something in agreement. There's not another wall, another barrier that's going to stop us. In Jesus' name. So walls and barriers, be broken now, and don't come back. And Father, we give You the praise. Now give Him praise, y'all. Just say, thank You, Lord. Clap or do something. Because you're worthy of praise. And thank You, Lord, that we can call on You in the midst of a trial or tribulation. But we're getting through them. We're not going to live by our emotions. We're going to live by Your Spirit. And I give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, did you have a good time? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let me make sure the Spirit of God's done. Of course, when I say that, we could be here till next year. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. He's so good, y'all. Oh, glory. Praise you, Jesus. I'm excited just about a few things. And again, I can't thank all the ladies again for all your dedication, the ones that cooked, that helped. Thank you. Thank you for your service to want to see, women as of yesterday just get spiritually fed. And man, what an awesome thing. When the door is open for the men, then we'll meet. Sometimes the Lord will have me wait a year. And, when it's a need, then we're going to go through the door. And so if there's a need for all us men to get together, then we'll do it immediately. But I'm honored that we have people in this church just seeking God like we've never seen. But we have to in these days. So the women's conference was such a success. Appreciate my wife. Who was it? Just being a part of it. Kathy, honored that you got to minister. And Karen Shaw had to come, I only gave her a few weeks' notice, probably just 2 weeks. And because Charlotte O'Hearn, that was supposed to be here, her husband had triple bypass, and she needed to be with him, but gave me a great report that he is doing awesome. And so Karen jumped in, and Karen, I knew, was an awesome woman of God. And so, I just want to thank you all very much. Just a few announcements. I want you to find the table back in the back. We get involved in the democracy of this state and our country, and we're not ashamed of it. And so tomorrow, though, is the voting for the amendments that one of them started at this church. We had a meeting at this church, which then started some proclamations that will be voted on tomorrow. And it doesn't really matter the name of the proclamations, but we're doing proclamations that will not allow a government, a state government, ever to shut down churches. And it started right here. Of course, it's the reason that this church is growing, because all the churches shut down and we never did. And so people are still looking for churches that aren't shut down and don't kind of operate in fear. And I don't want any pastor to ever operate in fear. No, we need to operate in faith that we live and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. And so these constitutions are good. One of them is about rodeo, about, just raffle tickets and try to, rodeos that try to, like this one, just gain some finances, and they might do a raffle. I don't see anything wrong with a raffle. Win a horse. We did that one time. We raffled off a horse. Remember that? I hope no one got bucked off. But also, we just got to get the petition. I believe in our governor. And, man, it's a tough job, son of a gun. Even when they do some wrong things, he's a Christian and he's for the church. And so he has to have petitions signed to get back on the ballot. And so if you want to do that, you do it before you leave. And so anyway, it's going to be a good thing. Hallelujah Night's the last thing I got to say. On the 31st, as y'all know, we want the kids to have a safe, fun time, not supporting Halloween, but having fun time fellowshipping with believers. And so we have Hallelujah Night is what we call it. And they can come here and still get some candy and gums and toothpaste and, all the good stuff. And then we're going to do a little, I guess it's going to be like a hayride, man. It's going to be fun. And so everybody's welcome. Bring your kids, your grandkids, your husbands, and, bring them all. Amen. It's going to be a blast. That'll be on the 31st. What time does it start, by the way? 5:30 to 8:00. So it won't be late for everybody, but it's going to be a good time. Amen. And pray for me and Daryl and Ricky. We'll be ministering on the morning of the 31st in San Angelo at the Rope and Fiesta that I've ministered at for 20 years. And always a lot of people get saved. So I won't be gone, but just that one Sunday. But it's going to be a glorious time, because that night is when we'll have the Hallelujah night. Amen. Any other announcements? We're good? Yes, ma'am.
I didn't say one of our youth memorized Psalm 91.
One of the youth memorized Psalms 91. Praise God. I love that. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. We got to start teaching our children to memorize verses like we did when we was growing up. Amen. All right, stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Glory be to God. If you want to buy some water, please do. Don't buy water at the store. You buy it from us. Amen? Because it benefits this church. Glory be to God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you made. I just say thank you for everything that you're doing at Cowboy Church. And Father, the greatest thing is you don't stay here. You get to go with us right now. We get to be led by your Spirit as we leave, because we're going to need you. We need your wisdom, your guidance in all the decisions, to be able to not participate in anger and all the stuff that the world's trying to do. And we're going to stand for you no matter what. Because I thank you, Lord, that one day we're going to be standing before you. And Father, it's an honor that you're going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So, Father, thank you for loving on us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.